Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and I live in New York City, which means I'm either rich or cheap. Well, I suppose you could be both, but I'm just one of those two, and I'll leave it to you to guess which one. Fortunately, summer is not a bad time to be a cheapskate in New York. In fact, our friends over at the indie concert site Oh My Rockness have figured out that you can find some live music for free on just about every night of this upcoming summer here in New York. And for those of you outside the city, don't worry, a lot of these artists are playing around the country this summer. Anyway, the Oh My Rockness folks put together a great list of free summer concerts, and we'll share that with you in just a bit. Speaking of cheap, if you're in a rock band, one way to cut costs is to employ your family members to schlep your gear. That's what the Brooklyn rock band The National did a few years back. What they didn't expect was that the family member in question, lead singer Matt Berninger's brother Tom, would bring a camcorder with him. And what Tom didn't expect is that he'd end up making a feature film about his complicated and very funny relationship with his famous older brother. We'll talk to both Berningers later on Soundcheck. I'll also be pulling out another early electronic music classic from the vaults, as I've been doing all week, so stay with us for that. But first, we have live music from Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks. Stephen gained fame in the 90s with the hugely influential band Pavement, and he could have cost us a pretty penny if we tried to play this Pavement song on the air without checking the lyrics first.
Kids, they don't have no function. I don't understand what they mean. I could really give a f***. Stone Temple Pilots.
You might not know this, but here in the radio world, there's a secret committee that decides what you can and can't say on the air. And this morning, I spent hours with this powerful cabal, haggling over the title of the newest album from Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks. The decision was murky and not exactly decisive, so I've decided I'm just going to go ahead and say it anyway. Wig out at Jagbags. Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks are here in our studio today to play a couple of songs off of Wig Out at Jagbags, including this one called Planetary Motion. Here's Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks, whose new album is called Wig Out at Jagbags, live on Soundcheck.
United devotion to the children.
That's a live performance here in the Soundcheck studio from Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks, a song called Planetary Motion, performed by Stephen Malkmus on voice and guitar, with Mike Clark on guitar, Joanna Bolme playing the bass, and Jake Morris behind our drum kit. From the new album called Wig Out at Jagbag, Stephen, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having us. Second time.
Is it only the second time?
I think, well, maybe there was a time before. Last time you were talking, you were debating the merits of R.E.M.'s new album and how it would hold up.
That's right.
Do you remember that?
And you were just about to move to Berlin.
I did, and I went there.
And
there
you did
for
go
two
there.
Years.
How was and that?
It's a really fun place. It's pretty fantastic. I mean, I've got to be positive.
And kind of the sixth borough. I mean, when we were in Berlin, we did a week of shows there, and it just seemed like every other person was, like, fleeing high rents in New York. Lots of Americans.
It can. That's true. Maybe you were in Kreuzberg or
that's
Neukölln.
Right. Exactly.
Those are the areas where NYU students party through the night and drive you crazy, I think. Yeah, it's. I mean, it's a fun place. The parks are wonderful. It's great for kids.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, you wouldn't think that, right? Because you think maybe techno and NYU students and just huge Germans. But actually, the parks are just fantastic, and they have all these tax incentives for to make you breed.
Really?
Yeah, you get like 175 euros per child.
Wow. And you wrote most of this record there, right?
Well, lyrics, a lot of them.
Yeah.
We did them kind of, we were touring around on the last critically acclaimed album, Mirror Traffic. And we were working on new songs because we play medium to small size venues, and our crowd is amenable to new things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not just there to see they didn't pay $120 to see the hits. You know,
right.
We're there for everything. So we work on new songs on tour, and that, so half of it I would say we had before I even moved there.
Wow. So the album is called Wig Out at Jagbags. Now look, I'm a Brooklyn boy. We have a different word that ends in bag.
Yes.
But
you got it.
All right. So is that a Midwest term?
I think it is. My buddies from Chicago use it. Pittsburgh, though, I think it reaches as far as Western Pennsylvania. I mean, I have not done a study.
A Google search?
Well, I've seen that, and it leads to different websites like Chicago White Sox fan boards. And
really?
Yeah, where people are venting their spleen and talking too much, and then they say, like, quit being such a jagbag. But it's kind of lighthearted. It's not a... I don't think you... When you're called a jagbag, it's... You kind of... Or like, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm just being a little bit obnoxious. I'm not a bad person.
Right. Recently, we were talking about, you know, these so-called Dylanologists, the people who comb through Dylan's writings, his lyrics, you know, looking, trying mm-hmm. to parse what the different influences are. And listening to this new album, you know, if there were Malkmusologists, they'd have a field day with this record, it seems.
They could, you know. This is our street legal.
I mean, it seems like every song has allusions, references, riffs, you know, taken from earlier types of music.
I mean, I could talk about that, or I'd rather just be compared to Dylan. I'd keep going that way. We're both Geminis and, you know, trailblazers and mysterious.
Uh-huh. And magpies of a sort.
Yeah, he's got more kids, though, than me. He's the original gangster of Malibu, too.
Yeah.
No, people don't talk about that. You think it's all about David Geffen, and it's not.
We're speaking with Stephen Malkmus about his new album called Wig Out
sort
at Jagbags. Sort of. But this next song, The Janitor Revealed, it's been driving me crazy all day. There is a guitar mm-hmm. lick here that is... I've known it since the 70s, I think. And
you guys might know Kinks. Is it Kinksy, or is there a riff in there?
I don't think it's...
Queen? Those little hammer-ons?
No. It's more of like almost like an Allman Brothers-y sounding thing.
I know what you mean.
They all know what I mean, but Steven doesn't. So go play the song and let's see what happens. The song is called The Janitor Revealed, a great title, from Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks. They're playing live here in the Soundcheck studio. The song appears on their latest album called Wig Out at Jag Bags, but this is a live performance on Soundcheck.
I'm ready.
I was up for just about anything, feeling hungry, heading to spring, and soon enough, you know, my time will come, we were put on this earth to shine, destined for greatness by design, the mental speed bumps you must navigate, frigid shoulders interrupting fate. I often chunk onto my future days. Applicable wealth is on display. Casual confidence to say. In a constant tizzy cyber ride, I'm busy. Won't you open up the door?
That is called The Janitor Revealed, from the new album Wig Out at Jag Bags by Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks. That's a live performance by the band here in the studio. It's that lick that goes down, 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 down.
Yeah. Bum, 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 bum.
Down, 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 down. Except you don't go there. You go somewhere else. That's been driving me crazy. It's like Allman Brothers or one of those bands.
Aqualung.
No, it's not Aqualung.
Good.
Stephen Malkmus singing and playing guitar, Mike Clark playing our piano and guitar, and Joanna Balmy playing the bass, Jake Morris is playing the drums. They're all playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio. You want to do Independent Street?
That's true, I do.
Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks live in the studio.
Thank you. I don't have the stomach for your brandy. I can hardly sip your tea. I don't have no tea left for your candy. I'm just busy being me. Living in this shirt, everybody hurts. There's no central heat on Independent Street. I know that she's nothing but nothing, nothing but a lover girl. See the way she gives her away those kisses. She's everything you need and more. Sucking on a cert, that ain't no dessert. I cannot compete on Independent Street. Sip your tea. I don't have no tea left for your candy. I'm just busy being free. Living in this church, I just might convert. There's no way to leave from Independence.
Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks, live on Soundcheck with a song called Independence Street, once again from their latest release called Wig Out at Jagbags. So, Stephen, you remember the last time you and the band were here? We were looking back at REM's career. They had just announced they were breaking up. We're doing a little more retrospection on the show coming up because it's obviously the 20th anniversary of the summer of 94, and a big anniversary for Pavement fans, because Crooked Rain turned 20 this year as well. So,
yeah,
do you remember where you were and what you were doing that summer of 94 after Crooked Rain came out?
Not specifically. You know, I was here. Lived here.
Here in New York?
Yeah, I think I lived in Williamsburg. I remember the hot summers, the smell of garbage.
you have such a pained look on your face.
No, I loved it. When you're young, the hot summers are, you know, the one room with the air conditioner that you stayed in.
Air conditioning. Wow. Living large.
Yeah, one room. You know, you have one crammed into that window.
Yeah.
I don't really remember. I mean, they were the best times of my life, though. They were good times. They were the 90s. Yeah.
There was the Pavement reunion tour some years ago. Were you guys going to do anything around the 20th anniversary of Crooked Rain?
I don't think so. Yeah. We like 21 anyway. That's a more interesting year.
That's when the album can drink.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like Matador had a giant celebration of itself in Las Vegas and its artists.
Right.
And its fans and its culture at 21. So, when it turns 21, I think it's good because you can, you know, people want to talk about 20. You're like, no, 21. And then 23 just pops up, says Aleister Crowley or whatever. It's a good album, though. I guess it's, you know, I'm happy that it's worthy of two decades of retrospect, you know?
Yeah. Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks have been playing for us here in our New York studio. Their latest album is out now. It's called Wig Out at Jag Bags. Stephen, great to see you again. Thanks for bringing the band back in.
Thanks for having us down.
Only a chariot could carry it across this void. I wouldn't jerry-rig or candy-coat your Latin kisses. You're not what you aren't. You aren't what you're not. You got what you want. You want what you got. People regret and they shame. Don't they?
Well, this week on Soundcheck, I've been dusting off some classic old electronic albums from the 70s and 80s because I keep hearing these sounds echoing in music being made today. Just today, in fact, I was checking out the forthcoming album by the Brooklyn band People Get Ready, which is more of an indie rock band than an electronic act, but when track 4 of the album came up, this is what I heard. Well, that is pretty clearly inspired by the electronic music being made mostly in Europe and mainly in Germany in the 1970s. Here, check out this piece from 1978 by Klaus Schulze, and you'll see what I mean. Klaus Schulze was the center of the so-called Berlin School in the 1970s. He wrote these ambitious, almost orchestral-sounding works inspired by, among other things, the operas of Wagner. And he employed these sequenced rhythms to great effect. Still does, actually. He never stopped making records. I've lost track of how many he's done at this point, but I can tell you that this one was his 10th back in 1978, because the album is called X, the Roman numeral 10. And this piece is one of several works that Schulze composed under the influence of Frank Herbert's famous sci-fi novel, Dune. The name of this piece is Frank Herbert. Music from another important electronic artist of the 70s and 80s. The album is X, the 10th record by Germany's Klaus Schulze. You can hear this track in full and see my complete list of 10 early electronic classics on our website, soundcheck.org. Coming up next, we'll get a rundown of some of the best ways to see great music in New York this summer without draining your bank account. And later, we look at a recent documentary about the Brooklyn band The National, made by their lead singer's brother. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Let's face it, summer has a way of really taking a chunk out of your bank account. You gotta pay for vacations, sending the kids to camp, running your air conditioner at full blast. But there is one thing you don't really need to pay for this summer. And that's live music. New Yorkers in particular got it made this summer with free concerts happening throughout the city just about every night from June to September. The concert listing website Oh My Rockness has compiled a pretty comprehensive list of these free shows. And joining me today with a couple of highlights is Patrick McNamara, co-creator of the site. Patrick, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here.
Let's start with Brooklyn's Northside Festival. On June 15th, the Scottish group called Churches, the band that's spelled with a V, C-H-V-R-C-H-E-S, is playing at McCarran Park in Williamsburg as part of Northside Fest. Now, is that becoming like the South by Southwest of the Northeast?
It's getting there. I believe this is the fourth or fifth year they've been doing it. I'll have to check that. But they have a lot of shows this year, all on the north side of Brooklyn, hence the name Northside Fest. And this Churches show at McCarran is one of their few totally free shows. You don't need a badge or anything like that. And it's actually the number one most popular show on our site. So all of they have the most saves from our users. So people are excited about it.
Now, you don't need to buy a ticket, but you do need to RSVP.
You do need to RSVP. If you plan on going to the show, you should double check to see if the RSVP is still open or if it's closed. Sometimes when it's closed, they reopen it. But I know it's a very popular show.
Yeah, so that's June 15th. And it'll be this band called Churches. Here's an excerpt from their album from last year, The Bones of What You Believe. So Glasgow, Scotland, that is the band Churches from their album The Bones of What You Believe and a song called Recover. And they are playing at McCarran Park in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, as part of Brooklyn's Northside Festival on June 15th. A free concert, but you can't just show up. You do need to RSVP for those free passes. And that is one of the free summer concerts on the summer listings that Oh My Rockness has put together. You can find a link to their listing of free shows in New York this summer on our website, soundcheck.org. Patrick McNamara is the co-creator of Oh My Rockness here with me in the studio. July 24th, Teenage Fan Club, again, we're in Scotland, Teenage Fan Club is coming to town to play at Pier 84. This is part of Hudson River Park's River Rocks. Is this a relative newcomer to the outdoor scene here in New York?
Yeah, it seems like lately these pier shows are becoming more popular. Hudson River Park has been doing shows, but like you said, they are relatively new. And it's a great – going to see a show on the water is just a great experience. It's especially on those beautiful summer nights when everything is perfect and the music sounds amazing. It's really, you get your money's worth, which is great because it's a free show.
And you know, let's face it, July 24th, it can be pretty hot and steamy in New York around
Definitely. That
time of year. And if you're on the water, maybe there's a little breeze blowing in off the Hudson. Nothing wrong with that.
Definitely, a little bit of a chill.
And Teenage Fan Club, I mean, these guys have been around forever.
Yeah, probably my favorite record of theirs is Bandwagon-esque from 1991, which the little known or well known fact about that was that album beat out Spin did a poll of best albums of 1991, and it beat out Nirvana's Nevermind,
what?
And My Bloody Valentine, Loveless, and R.E.M.'s Out of Time. That was number one, and it's been, you know, they were name checked by Kurt Cobain as being one of his favorite bands. A lot of people said that they were very similar to a big star who did it maybe a decade before them. But they've been going strong for the last 25 years, and they're just a really good pop band.
All right, Patrick. So pick a song from this alleged number one album of 1991.
It's always good to start with the beginning. The first song on the album, "The Concept," is one of the standouts of that album. But really, the whole album is pretty good. But it's good to start there.
Teenage Fan Club. It's called "The Concept" from the 1991 record "Bandwagon-esque" by Scotland's Teenage Fan Club, who are, they haven't made a record in a couple of years.
Yeah, I think it's been a few, 4 or 5 years.
Patrick McNamara of the concert listing website Oh My Rockness is here with me in the Soundcheck studio to share just a few of the highlights of a jam-packed summer of free music here in New York. And again, I'll mention again that a lot of these people are touring around. Our next artist is St. Vincent, who is appearing on many of the festivals around the country this summer, including Celebrate Brooklyn at the Prospect Park Bandshell on August 9th. She just played the finale of Saturday Night Live, so her star is certainly in the ascendant.
Yeah, definitely. She, in my opinion, she brought the house down on that episode of Saturday Night Live. There was, I guess, a lot of polarizing reactions to her on Twitter and on other forms of social media.
So people were saying, what is this? I don't get it, that sort of thing.
Well, she does her synchronized dance moves, and she acts like a robot sometimes, and it's all very stylized, and it's part of the whole performance that she brings, which I definitely appreciate, but maybe not everybody would.
Right. We're talking about Annie Clark, who records as St. Vincent, great electric guitarist as well as a singer and songwriter.
She shreds.
And did that that really wonderful brass-heavy record with David Byrne a year or two ago.
Yeah, definitely. And her latest album that came out a few months ago, almost unanimously critically acclaimed. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great listening experience.
Let's hear a little bit from the album, which is also called St. Vincent. And this song is "Digital Witness." St. Vincent's music from the album St. Vincent. That is a song called "Digital Witness," which she performed on Saturday Night Live recently. You can bet that'll be on the set list on August 9th when St. Vincent plays at Celebrate Brooklyn in the Prospect Park Bandshell. That is another of the summer free events that that Patrick McNamara is sharing with us on Soundcheck today. Patrick is co-creator of the concert listing website Oh My Rockness, and they've put together a big, long, comprehensive listing of free shows in New York this summer. Check it out. There's a link at our website, soundcheck.org. Sticking with August and moving to the 16th, another of the big park events here in New York is Central Park Summer Stage. And they've got a long season of things, too. But you chose Blood Orange and Sean Nicholas Savage. Why?
Again, this is another one of those true artists I was talking about with St. Vincent, but I really think Dev Hines, who records under Blood Orange, he's really...
And who used to record as Lightspeed Champion.
And before that, he was a kid in this punk band, Test Icicles.
Right.
So we've been doing All My Rockness for 10 years, and we've kind of been following his career. And as Blood Orange, he's really created this whole sort of alternative soul dance funk chill concept album. The album that I'm referring to is called Cupid Deluxe. It's a great record, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him live.
All right, so that's August 16th, Blood Orange, with the Canadian singer-songwriter Sean Nicholas Savage. That'll be part of Central Park Summer Stage. Again, just part of a very busy summer of free concerts here in New York. We've been speaking with Patrick McNamara of the website Oh My Rockness. Check out their full listings. There's a link at soundcheck.org. Patrick, great seeing you again. Happy
Thanks,
summer.
Well. Thanks. You too.
Speaking of summer concerts, the Brooklyn band The National is set to play three concerts for the Celebrate Brooklyn series in Prospect Park. They're not free events, but they will certainly be worth checking out. And up next, we have a look inside the recent documentary about the band called Mistaken for Strangers. It actually chronicles the relationship between the band's lead singer and his aspiring filmmaker brother. We'll talk with Matt and Tom Berninger next. This is Soundcheck.
You get mistaken for strangers by your own friends when you pass them at night under the silvery, silvery city bank lights. I'm an old man, old man, eyes and eyes glazing London.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. As the Brooklyn-based band The National has steadily gained in popularity and fame and acclaim, it was only a matter of time before they got their own rockumentary. But the recent film about the band, Mistaken for Strangers, ended up not really being about The National at all. Instead, it revolves around the filmmaker, the younger brother of the band's lead singer. What we're left with isn't a documentary about a rock band, but a funny and sometimes uncomfortable look at family. Mistaken for Strangers is available to watch on demand and on iTunes. I talked with the filmmaker Tom Berninger and his brother Matt Berninger of The National back in March. We might as well start the way your film starts, Tom, getting a little bit of the flavor of the back and forth between
what,
the
him
two.
Him yelling at me?
I wasn't yelling.
We were just yelling 2 minutes ago.
I was commenting on you forcefully.
Your commenting is loud.
I'm sorry.
Well, that is sort of how the film starts. Here, listen to this. This is the beginning. It's Matt sitting in a lawn chair in Prospect Park. Tom is behind the camera, and we hear Tom's voice first asking questions.
Do you ever get, I mean, on tour, it's day in and day out. But do you ever get, does that ever make you sleepy on stage? Tired on stage? That's my question. Question number one, that is that. You ever woken up in a nightmare on a bus because the movement? What kind of nightmares have people talked about have having?
Don't act like that. Don't act like it's a dumb question. I'm following up on that. My first question.
Do you have a notebook with questions written down that you like? Do you have any kind of organization and plan for this film?
Tom, did you have a plan?
Well, I honestly think those are pretty good questions. I mean, honestly, who doesn't... I want to start a show called Celebrity Nightmares. It's like, what do celebrities, like, dream about?
Yeah.
That's the cool thing.
Well, at least, Matt, those are questions that interviewers haven't asked
That's
you
true.
Hundreds of times
that is
before.
True. I was frustrated that he was ill-prepared as a proper sort of, you know, journalist or documentarian. But ultimately, now the thing, I think those actually aren't as bad of questions as I thought at the time. You know, they're kind of, they're almost more interesting than the normal questions.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Now, how did this film come about? Because, Tom, you were not hired as a documentarian, and Matt, you guys already have your offbeat documentary, the Vincent Moon film.
Yeah, we had a documentary that was more just like a in-studio sort of art film by Vincent Moon. But we were not in the market for any new documentary at all. And the reason I asked Tom to join us on tour was one, I wanted him around. He's 9 years younger, and you know, I went off to college when he was a little kid. Then I moved to New York, and so I hadn't seen a ton of him. Mm. That's one reason. And he was living in my parents' house in Cincinnati.
I was in between jobs.
I know. I'm just saying. and you could. I thought it'd been good for you to get out of Cincinnati and see Europe, and you needed a job.
Yeah.
And how did you feel when he showed up with a camera?
The truth is, I said you can bring a camera along and maybe make some sort of, you know, stuff for our website, or maybe you could maybe make a little video. It was not to make a feature documentary, that's for sure.
So you were hired to do like assistant road manager, tour manager kind of stuff, right? And spoiler alert, that does not work out so well.
Well, it's actually, yeah, no, it didn't. I mean, I thought I did an okay job, but you know, my job was to obviously make sure there's enough beer and water, you know, basically water on the bus, like make sure these guys are not like die, you know.
It was more complicated than just
that. Well, yeah,
that.
But yeah. I don't know. I wanted to make some. I wanted to make a music video or something, and I kind of got the camera got in the way of my job a little bit.
There are also many scenes where someone else is clearly filming you. Mm-hmm. One of the turning points is in a brief career as an assistant tour manager is the tour manager is saying, did you get the water? Did you get the towels? And you're like, yep, got all that, check. Mm-hmm. Then we see you running down the hall going, I need some water, I need some towels.
Yeah, almost the whole movie was shot in one camera, very little like coverage, as they say. And when I had a friend in town, that I either went to film school with or a friend of a friend that is like, do you mind filming me just like running around getting yelled at and doing my job? Because I think in the back of my mind that like, I think this is fun. Like maybe this comes from the roadie point of view. I want to do a roadie movie. So that's why you do see only a couple times you see me on camera. But really, the times you do see me on camera and not behind the camera, that's all I had of me. There's very little.
Mm-hmm. So you're fired from the tour because the camera stuff is getting in the way. And
that's what they said.
Well, you know, there's one of the shots that we see. It's clearly late at night, everyone is asleep, and you, with your camera, are pulling back the little curtains on the bus and showing us each of the members of the National asleep.
Yeah.
Of course, there's the question of you didn't wake them to ask permission first, so...
Brian was awake.
Well,
I don't know if he was actually awake. He's got his glasses on. He had to be awake. He doesn't sleep.
He didn't yell at me.
All right. Now, Brian and Scott are brothers. Aaron and Bryce are twins. And that leads us to this this clip from the film, Mistaken for Strangers, in which Matt is doing a radio interview before the National heads out on tour.
You guys are a band of brothers, two sets of brothers. But then there's you, Matt. You're the guy in the band who doesn't have a brother.
I do have a brother. But he's like 9 years younger and lives in Cincinnati. But
what does your brother think of the band?
That's a good. I don't think he does think of it that much. Actually, he's more of a metalhead. I think he thinks indie rock's pretty pretentious bullshit.
Well, that's Matt Berninger with Jesse Thorne.
I was talking to Jesse Thorne, yeah.
Doing the interview.
Of Bullseye.
And Tom Berninger here as well, who made the film called Mistaken for Strangers, supposed to be about the National, really is about Matt and Tom, and they're here with me in the Soundcheck studio. And in that Jesse Thorne interview, he says, Matt, you're the one without a brother, which is such a curious turn of phrase. As you immediately point out, you do have a brother, but you're 9 years apart. So what was your relationship before this, and did it change during this process?
It did. I mean, we've always been close. I mean, we bicker and fight a lot. But he was 9 years younger. We didn't have a relationship like some brothers and the other guys in the band. They're close in age, and mm-hmm. and they fight in sometimes different ways. And so growing up, when Tom was little, I don't want to speak for you, but you looked up to me in a weird way. Like I was like an idol, or in a funny way. And I was. You know, I would bring home like movies and stuff for Tom when he was little, and I let him watch like, you know, I worked at a video store, and I was bringing home Terminator and Predator and Ghostbusters and
watching with Tom. So then, let's not be surprised at how his movies turned out.
No, yeah, and so when he's 9 years old, I leave and go off to college, yeah. And I kind of left him there with.
To be honest, yeah, I mean, you went off. Matt was a great older brother. I mean, he showed me all these great sci-fi action movies, and but he when he left, I felt when I kind of got out of my teens, like, and into my early 20s, you know, Matt still liked those movies that he showed me, but he was much more into The Graduate. And look, I know The Graduate is a good movie, but it's just not my thing. Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt slightly betrayed that, like, and I know it's just we just grew apart, but like, I, you know, it got harder to talk about movies with him because he
had different tastes.
We totally had different tastes. Yeah. And I felt like he led me down a path that I just kept going, and he just went a different path.
Well, now that happens with this movie, because Tom, you're going down a path, and Matt, we see you kind of wrestling Tom, you know, away from this kind of trackless wilderness he's going through, and trying to get him to actually focus and do something with the movie.
Uh-huh.
At what point did you think to yourself, I got to step in here. I got to, you know, say something.
When Tom was on tour with us, I wanted him to shoot stuff and film and make something out of it. And then when he gets fired from the tour for good reason, he got fired.
Spoiler alert! Thanks.
Well, I think I've already done that.
Oh. Yeah, but and you know, I didn't want him to go back to Cincinnati. I wanted him to try to make something out of this stuff. And I didn't. It didn't matter that much if it was just some little you know bits and pieces that we put on our website or even he put together one like collage-y video, which I really love. I wanted him to make something, and it didn't matter to me how good it was. It was just that he would just finish it and stick with it and make something, and that was all. Because I think sometimes the thing I would always get the most frustrated with Tom is that sometimes he would throw in the towel. He would throw in the towel when it looked like maybe it wasn't going to be as good as he was hoping, and so he would give up on a lot of things, and that becomes part of the movie too. But I had never expected it to turn into as interesting and as good a thing that he did, I think.
Yeah. And your mom, Tom, there's a clip of your mom basically saying what Matt just said, that, mm-hmm. you know, you gotta finish something. You have to stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of your parents, there's a very telling shot in the film where your mom is showing mm-hmm. you your artwork on the wall next to Matt's artwork.
Mine's so much better, I must say.
Let's listen in.
This was Matt's art, which is very abstract and minimal.
This one?
And this is all your work. Take some shots of that. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah, this is great. This is the type of work you did. Really wonderful. What's this guy doing? Is he sawing a...
He's making a leg near an empty creek. And then he's dreaming about new legs. And then same guy in a school bus, and he's thinking about eating a leg.
What's not to love about that?
Yeah.
Oh, that is one supportive mom you got there.
Yeah.
What's not to love about the guy who's dreaming about legs and eating legs?
A lot not to love about that. Well, mom always saw the bright side of your art.
Now, Matt, what I found most striking about that was your art piece next to Tom's was, as your mom described it, this, like, abstract, uh-huh. you know, squiggle, set of lines.
I was a bit...
Not very good.
Yes, it was.
I thought it was pretty good.
I was a big Cy Twombly, you know, fan, and, like, I like that kind of, you know, abstract expressionism. Tom liked more illustrative realism.
Well, kind of. Like, Crumb. Yeah.
R. Crumb.
Yeah.
So...
what struck me about that, Matt, was, you know, even as a longtime National fan, I often have trouble parsing your lyrics. Even when you give us the lyrics, they're elliptical, they're abstract.
Uh-huh.
There's a moment in the film where you and Aaron Dessner are rehearsing I Should Live in Salt, which, you know, is a great turn of phrase. Uh-huh. And, you know, you can kind of get into that song as a listener any number of ways to figure out what that means. We hear a little bit of the rehearsal, and then we hear a little bit of the recording, which rehearsing, you're in a much deeper, you know, kind of your baritone, but on the record, it's much higher.
I jump up an octave.
Yeah. Let's listen. This is from the film called Mistaken for Strangers.
Can we go through it real quick?
Yeah.
Don't make me read your mind. You should know it better than that. It takes me too much time. You should know me better than that. You're not that much like me. You should know me better than that. We have different enemies. You should know me better than that. I should leave it alone, but you're not around. I should leave it alone, but you're not around.
I Should Live in Salt from The National on Soundcheck. Tom Berninger, the filmmaker. The film is called Mistaken for Strangers. It's out now in select theaters, on demand, and iTunes. Matt Berninger, lead singer of The National, and Tom's older brother, also with me here in the Soundcheck studio. So there isn't a whole lot of the process of rehearsing and performing the songs in the film. What are you guys hoping people get out of this?
Good question.
Well, you know, for me,
Tom just wants a job.
I want to get out of my brother's garage in Venice, California. I'm still editing in there and living. I just hope that there's a lot of people out there kind of going through the same stuff I was going through, like 29, 30, and in between jobs or losing a job. And I think my generation, some people in my generation, just feel like they don't even know who, you know, they're still searching for themselves. And I hope people see this movie that came in through the side door for me, didn't know this was going to happen, and I opened myself up and showed all people the ugly, embarrassing stuff, and somehow that works out, and it kind of works out for my brother's band, and it kind of worked out for me.
The band never really, like I said, didn't necessarily want to or need a portrait of the band sort of thing, but I do think that what Tom ended up making, and I think the other band members would agree, is actually a better portrait of our band than a sort of profile documentary would have been, because if you want to know, you know, about the process of and how, you know, our band started and all that kind of history stuff, and, you know, maybe more of a conventional music documentary about our band, there's plenty of information out there. But this was, I think you'll learn more about just us and as people, and including all the ugliness and the conflict and how hard it is to make stuff and collaborate and to stick with stuff and so it's much more interesting than just a movie about this about an indie rock band, I think.
The movie is called Mistaken for Strangers by Tom Berninger, featuring his brother Matt Berninger, a lead singer of The National, and the rest of the band. The film is now in select theaters, on demand, and iTunes. Tom, Matt, a lot of fun trying to get a word in edgewise here. Thank you guys for coming in and being with us on Soundcheck.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
I'm getting nervous. Na 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 na. No sign of a friend of mine. Na 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 na. Red hair and blue eyes.
That's the song Friend of Mine from The National. That's off their 2005 album, Alligator. Tomorrow on the show, even rock gods need legal teams. Led Zeppelin is facing a lawsuit decades in the making over the way the band allegedly lifted the opening notes for its iconic song, Stairway to Heaven. A writer for Bloomberg Businessweek magazine walks us through the argument. And Anna Sale, host of WNYC's Death, Sex, and Money podcast, joins us to talk about a recent conversation she had with ex-drive-by trucker Jason Isbell and his wife, the violinist and singer Amanda Shires. That's tomorrow on the program. That does it for Soundcheck today. I'm John Schaefer.